again, welcome. Express appreciation for your being here. Yeah, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. Good to get together. Just wanted to emphasize the meeting that Jim announced is coming up. It's our workshop or seminar or gospel meeting, whatever you like to call it. But it's on the bottom of your bulletin, on the left-hand side, down at the bottom, September 7 and 8, here at our building. And Brother Daryl Tripp from the Bostonia Church of Christ will be our guest speaker. That's Saturday morning, and that's Sunday morning. He will be here bringing us lessons. I like the slogans that Jim put at the bottom of the bulletin this time. Kind of goes along with what I'm saying right now. Life is shaped by our minor decisions. We lose our friends, our usefulness, our religion, not by great decisions, but by small neglect. I don't want you to neglect that meeting, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, September 7 and September 8. And on the other side of the bulletin at the bottom, he has to hear God's voice. Turn down the world's volume. Turn it down. There's an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. A couple of weeks ago, during the Bible class hour, I shared some excuses that people sometimes give if they don't want to do something. You may see or notice this from that announcement, or we're going to have a meeting on just a Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and we're announcing that well in advance. Excuses why you don't need to attend. So I wrote down some of those things that you may say, and I have an answer for them. Part of my answer is I don't want to hear your excuse. But someone might say, I have a sore toe. I'll have a nurse here. I'll have a nurse. That's Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Somebody said, I want to sleep in. Well, I have a cot. I'll bring one. I have one of them in the garage. If you want to sleep in Sunday morning, well, get up and come here and you can sleep again. I'll give you a wake-up call on Sunday morning, too. If you think, oh, Brian, it's hard for me to get up, I'll call. That's easy to do. I'll give you a call. They might say, well, I have company in town. Bring them. You bring them. Or leave them home. The thing is, I'd like for you to be here that Saturday morning, Sunday morning. In fact, I've been thinking about this. If you're not here, I may rent a minibus and have it parked outside, or a big one of those big Greyhounds. If you're not here, I may dismiss the assembly, put us all on the bus, and we'll come to your house. We'll meet out front and bring you into the bus, and we'll have our worship assembly. That's how important I think this meeting is. No matter what your excuse is, I'm going to have an answer for it. Someone else says, I have a headache. We have aspirin. Someone else said, well, I have some aches and pains. Well, I'm going to have some sports cream here and some hot and icy spice or whatever it is. That's spray. I'll spray whatever point ails you, I'll spray it. Someone said, well, my car needs gas. I'll give you a $5 gas card. It'll get you here, it won't get you home. But I'll get you a gas card. I hope you're getting the idea that I want you here. Saturday morning, I'm giving you well in advance. You don't make any other plans for that Saturday morning, Sunday morning. You just don't do it. You already have plans. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, September 7 and 8. Someone said, the pews are too hard. I have some lawn chairs I'll bring in. Some comfortable chairs. Somebody says, oh, it might rain. I have an umbrella. You know, if it were a concert or a wedding or a reunion, you'd be there. You'd cancel every other plan you had if that was the event. Well, now we're having an event here. That's Saturday morning, Sunday morning. No matter what other invitation you receive, you refuse it. And your reason is, I already have an appointment. I'm going to be here Saturday morning, Sunday morning, September 7 and 8. I don't know what your excuse is, but I'm telling you, you don't have an excuse. But I have an answer for it. Saturday morning, September 7. Sunday morning, September 8. If there's a sports event, Rick, I think that the Eagles don't play that morning.
That's right, I'll bring my golf bag.
There you go. But we make other plans. You do that with so many other events. You have to make a choice, and you're going to be presented with other options. You know, somebody says, you know, every time you go somewhere, you're missing out on something else. It doesn't matter what it is. If you go to SeaWorld, you're missing out on Disneyland. You're going to miss something all the time. But I don't want you to miss this. Saturday morning, September 7th. Bible class time. Worship time, September 8th. Brother Daryl Tripp will be here. He'll be presenting some lessons. And the theme of this lesson, and I'll probably getting a flyer made. I'll probably have that by next Sunday, Lord willing, or the following Sunday. And I'll make sure you have the flyers with all the information. Brother Daryl Tripp from the Bostonia congregation be presenting a lesson with the themes abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, I'm already in the work of the Lord. Well, I want you to abound in it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Getting here and being here for that friendship, that fellowship, that meeting, it's not in vain. It's going to produce some good results. I'm already shortening my sermon this morning because I want to emphasize this meeting for a few moments. September 7th, September 8th, it's the bottom of your bulletin on the left-hand side at the bottom. The lesson comes exactly from the text that was read to us this morning. I'm going to give you a verse-by-verse or phrase-by-phrase outline or notes from that. Paul said in the very beginning, I beseech you. Paul said that when he says that to the churches, he's saying, I'm begging of you. He said, almost like, please do this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, I exhort. He's saying to his brethren, I want you to sit up and take notice. He's saying, I want to call your attention to the message. I beseech. There's something significant, something important about what Paul is about to say. And he said, I don't want that to go unnoticed. Oh, I beseech you, brethren. And the brethren, that's the church. Christians, that's you. That's me. I want you to take the message personally. Don't think, oh, this would be a good lesson for somebody else. No, this is a good lesson for you and for me. For you, I beseech you. And then he adds the word brethren. Yeah. By the mercies of God. In other words, my motive, Paul says, my motivation to beseech you and urge and plead and pray, my motivation for just that introduction is based on God's love for us. Because God so loved the world and sent his Son, I beseech you to adhere to what I'm saying, Paul says. Because of the heavenly love for us, he says, here's what I have to say. It's a heavenly, gracious foundation for his pleading. You get that, don't you? Yeah. So don't just kind of gloss over it. Oh, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Oh, wait a minute. No. Plead, pray to you by the mercies of God. Because of what God has done, this is what I want you to know. So the first thing he says in two places, in basically the outlines in two phrases, don't do this and do this. First one is the negative side. Do not be conformed to this world. J.D. Phillips, in his comments on this verse, he puts it in modern language. He said, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't do that. Paul's pleading and praying by the mercies of God. Don't do that. Don't be conformed. Conform means, you know, to be molded by. Don't be fashioned by the world. To be conformed, meaning you're going to have the same, one form is the same as another. Paul says, don't think or act or look like this part of the world. Don't adopt that world's actions that would take you away from God. Don't do that. I want you to conform. He's not speaking about the geography of the world or the people that are just going about a normal course of life. He says, don't be conformed to the world's habits or desires or the value judgments that would take you away from God. Don't be conformed to that. September 7th, Saturday morning, from 9:30 to 11:30. The world won't be interested in that meeting. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't adopt the world's attitude, oh, it's not important to attend. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world's vices. The worldly vices of worldly people. Don't be conformed to the worldliness that destroys respect and obedience to God's will. Don't be conformed to that. Don't copy that. In Exodus, in these, some of these verses I don't have in your notes, but in Exodus 23, verse 2, Moses said, don't follow a multitude or a crowd to do evil. Don't do that. Don't follow the world's ways when there's an obligation or an opportunity to meet with God's people. Friendship, fellowship, worship. Don't be conformed to the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, this I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. So he's comparing Christianity to what the way the world walks. And he says, you see how the Gentiles are walking? He says, don't do that. Don't do that. And it's an interesting phrase. In verses 19 and 20, Paul refers to the Gentiles. And he says to them, who being past feeling, among the saddest words in all the Bible, describing a people who are past feeling. Remember, they can't be reached with the good news. They're not taking God's message to heart. He describes them as being past feeling. Ah. Bring us to tears. Trying to reach a people who are past feeling. And then it says, he continues, they've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're glad to do wrong. They're happy that they're not in God's friendship and fellowship. They're past feeling. And then Paul says, the last phrase in verse 20, of Ephesians 4. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. Yeah. So now we know what that description is for not being conformed. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. The next phrase is, be transformed. Be transformed. I've given you seven descriptions, or by Paul does, seven descriptions of what it means to be transformed. So what does that transformation look like? Number one, he says to present your bodies. That's an attitude and an action for our physical bodies to be presented to God in a manner that's described by God. I want you to present your bodies. All right, so now what is that going to look like in this presentation of myself to God? What does that look like? Remember, don't be conformed, be transformed. First thing, it's a presentation. Presentation. He describes it next as a living sacrifice. Living. It's in contrast to the sacrifices of the bulls and the goats in the Old Testament, where those bulls and goats, they were sacrificed just one time. They're gone. So Paul says, I want you to have a living sacrifice. Present your bodies, right? In presenting our bodies to God, it doesn't end at the baptistry. You can't say, all right, God, I gave my sacrifice, I obeyed your will, and I'll see you later. No. Living sacrifice. While we live, as we live, we need to present ourselves to God as a sacrifice. A sacrificial presentation. It means you're going to have to give up something, doesn't it? Definition of sacrifice? Yeah. It means to offer. Means you're going to have to deny someone, deny oneself, or you're going to have to deny something for a greater good or a greater blessing. September 7 and 8. Sacrifice. Means I may not be able to sleep in as I'd like to on Saturday. Sacrifice. Give it up. Well, I usually do this on Saturday morning. Well, don't do that on Saturday morning. Come to the building. Well, I have company coming in. Bring them. You get the idea? That's not just me, Apostle Paul. It's a heavenly message. Paul is described, just giving the explanation. Paul gives a description. Sacrifice. What does that transformation look like? Number three, it's holy. By definition, the word holy means that something is set apart for divine service. When they consecrated the utensils and the things in the Old Testament temple, it means this is this design designated for this use only. This is set apart. So when Paul says that your service is to be holy, it means I need to find out what is God's design for my life. What's God's purpose for my life? I want to be transformed into God. How would you have me live? How would you have me behave? How would you have me think? What's the attitude and action you want me you have for me? I want to put myself in your hands. I want to be holy. Live a life designated and described by God. Holy. Number four is acceptable to God. I want to live my life that's approved by God. I want my purpose to deliver a sacrificial life to God that He will gladly receive because I'm offering a life that's lived in accordance to His will. God, what would you have me do Saturday morning, September 7th? What would you have me do? I have a lot of choices. Sure do. I want to live a transformed life. Well, the world may call, and it will. I want my life accepted by God, not by the world's standards. Number five is reasonable service. What Paul is asking is reasonable. Somebody go, oh, Paul, you're out of your mind. No, he's not. Well, Paul, you're asking too much. No, he's not. Paul, you're asking the impossible. No, he's not. It's a reasonable service. Think, in other words, Paul says, think about what I'm asking you to do. I beseech you, beloved, by the mercies of God. It's reasonable. We're the creation of the Creator. The creation serves the Creator. The saved serve the Savior. The redeemed serve the Redeemer. That's reasonable. Even in life. It's reasonable service. There's reason for our faith, living a transformed life, and there's reason that we have hope in heaven. It's reasonable. Don't Don't think, oh, there goes Brian again. No, this is reasonable. The evidence of Christianity abounds. God's requirements for sacrificial living should not be diminished. God's requirements for us should not be taken lightly. God's requirements for us should not be ignored. It's reasonable. He's the creator, we're the creation. The potter has power over the clay. It's reasonable to live a transformed life. The next phrase is do it by the renewing of your mind. Oh, it's reasonable. So now I have to renew. I have to think differently. Now that I've been presented the evidence, it's revival. I put in your notes, get rid of your stinking thinking. That's what it is. And back to the Word of God. Is your faith shrinking a little bit? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. God's Word is going to be presented September 7th, Saturday morning. It'll strengthen your faith to be here. Get past that up. You need to make plans now. I'm giving you a 5-week warning or opportunity to change your stinking thinking. Yeah. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, present yourself approved to God, a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed. So just as we make New Year's resolutions, we resolve things in life, resolve to be on God's side. The last one is, number 7, that you may prove. Prove. In other words, in all these things that I've been saying this morning, put it to the test. Put it to the test. Try it. They go, Brian, I've never attended a Saturday morning session before. Well, try it. I've never come to Sunday morning Bible class before. We'll try it. Be transformed. Live a sacrificial life. See if it works. All you're saying, prove it. Put it to the test. The last phrase that Paul uses in the text that was read to us, he says, you know, everything I've been saying, it's good, it's acceptable, and it's the perfect will of God. God's will. God's will is good. When you notice, God's never asked us to leave anything that will hurt us. God's only asked us in His Word to leave things that will harm us either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Those are the only things God asked us to leave. Those things that will hurt us in those areas. God's will is acceptable. There's no law against doing good. God's will is perfect. It's the right way. So that's the lesson. Don't be conformed. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you never obeyed the good news, the gospel message, by being baptized for remission of sins, you had that opportunity. Jesus' last words in Matthew chapter 28, he said, already has been in heaven and on earth. All the authority is his. Go therefore and make nations them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Verse 16, verses 15 to 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. And that's the invitation we extend. Whosoever will may come, not obey that good news gospel message. Just simply let your resolve, your decision be known at the close of this song. So Dennis, let's stand. We'll sing this song of encouragement. Again, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply let it be known.